Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Wirecast. I'm one of your hosts, Hiro TJ, and I'm here with the unconscionably handsome Amiibo Jason.
That is very kind of you to say. It's hard though, it's because, you know, I'm doing this show with you, and you are by far more handsome. If there's a handsome contest, you win the contest.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. You got those natural curls.
Ooh,
curls for the girls.
We'll leave it there. I think you win, but that's just my thought. It's good to see you. It's good to be back.
Likewise.
It's been a week, I guess, for Nintendo news. Ups and downs, highs and lows.
Now, for me, I didn't really go on that roller coaster of news because I just consumed it all in like the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So I didn't have that roller coaster effect. And there was a lot more things that I thought, and I don't know how I missed so much of it. Oh. So I'm excited to talk about it with you.
Yeah, me too. I mean, so I think we'll just start right off the bat with what we expected to happen and then what did happen. So about a week and a half, I think, several leakers, very well-known industry leakers, said that we would see a Nintendo Direct this week. First party with a 3D Mario game or a 3D Mario package or collection being announced alongside it. It was tentatively scheduled for this Friday, so tomorrow. And that obviously is not something that, I mean, obviously we're recording this on Thursday, so it could still happen. But all of those leakers now have dialed back their expectations on what to expect due to the partner showcase that we got yesterday. So we did get a partner showcase. It was not what a lot of people wanted. It was all third-party content, nothing holiday-related from Nintendo, nothing first-party, no Breath of the Wild 2, no Mario. But we did get some interesting things. So I guess from my point of view, and we're going to get into this, I think it's important that we start this off that Nintendo owed us nothing whatsoever. This was all leaked hearsay information that, again, once again, I should point out, has proven to be wrong, which it so often is. I guess not totally wrong, but it was not 100% accurate what they thought was going to happen. And Nintendo just did what they were going to do. So I'm happy to get any information. There's some games that were shown off in this partner showcase that I was excited for and that I'm still excited for. So I'm excited to get your thoughts on those too.
Yeah, with the leak, anytime somebody says leak about anything, it just totally bounces off me. Sometimes you can get a little bit compelled by the details of the leak, depending on how extensive they are. Like, I kind of knew there was some credibility when people leaked all of the Pokemon that were available in Sword and Shield from data mining.
Yeah.
So certain things, you're like, oh, okay, that probably is a legit leak. And then obviously we had that massive criminal leak that just happened recently. And there's plenty of evidence to back that up. But when it's something like, oh, guess what? Nintendo's going to have a Direct. Or, oh, guess what? This new character's in Smash. It just bounces off me instantly because we're getting conditioned by leakers to not take it that seriously. So I never got my hopes up. I never expected anything. I think if anything, I was kind of erring on the side of there not being one.
Sure.
Because that's kind of percentage-wise what it's worked out to be this summer. People have been predicting this literally every week of the entire summer.
So what you're saying is if you say it's going to rain every day, just because
eventually
it does rain one day,
right,
doesn't mean you're right.
Exactly. Very well put. So I just watched this partner showcase like a few minutes ago, and I'm with you. There were some things that did kind of catch me off guard. I was a little I didn't expect to see some things from the past that I'd forgotten about that came back. And so I had zero expectations, but because the first partner showcase set the bar so low.
Yeah.
It reviewed so few games, and none of them really were earth-shattering for me. I guess some people like Shin Megami Tensei, but
yeah, that was big for some people.
But this one, it had a lot of meat to it, and some stuff that nothing that like made me want to jump out of my skin, but definitely some stuff that piqued my eyebrows.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I mean, obviously, I think the Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory cover art and new music, and we got the release date for that one. It's coming this November. That was interesting. I think that has the most mass appeal.
Put me in the category of people who are even more confused by Kingdom Hearts than I was before. So, like, I get the Kingdom Hearts is a big thing, but outside of Sora getting put into Smash, it's hard for me personally to get excited about it.
There's layers to this one for me. So I've played every Kingdom Hearts game, the mobile games since the PS2 era, the spin-offs, the Game Boy game, the PSP game. I mean, I've played them all. And I still have no idea what's going on in the game.
That is so hilarious to me. And that's actually kind of charming.
I watched like this hour and a half retrospective that's like, you know, Kingdom Hearts for Dummies, and I came out of it knowing less than I knew going in.
I watched that, and it made me realize that never will I be able to play this game.
So I have thoughts on, I mean, number one, I enjoy the franchise for what it is.
Before you get too deep into that, like, that's what confuses me the most. You say, like, you enjoy it for what it is, but I don't even know what it is.
It's because an action RPG. Like,
sometimes
with Winnie the
like
Pooh.
It's not it's if that were the case, then yeah, but this game, Melody of Memory, doesn't look like an action RPG at all.
It's not,
that's the thing,
it's theatrical.
So they have these installments that are canon that are not the same style of game.
So here's the thing. Again, I just want to point out that from a story standpoint, I get how weird it is. It's so Nomura, I think it's Tetsuya Nomura, I might have butchered his name, is notorious for putting convoluted stuff in his games. Weird, weird stuff. He even did that with Final Fantasy VII Remake, and I'm not going to get into too many spoilers in that. But again, for what it is, for me, it's like fun action RPG strategy, Disney kind of nostalgia, you know, stuff like that. The reason I'm excited for this game is Theatrhythm is one of my favorite 3DS series ever. So if you're not familiar with Theatrhythm is a rhythm game that takes Final Fantasy music, and they also had a Dragon Quest installment of Theatrhythm in Japan, and it turns it into a rhythm game. And it's very, very full featured. It's just an absolutely fun blast of a game. I love Final Fantasy and I love rhythm games, so this was like a dream come true for me. This game is Kingdom Hearts Theatrhythm without calling it that. Even the small little avatars they have for the characters are in the exact same style as the Theatrhythm avatars. So this is exactly what it is. But one of the members of our team, his name is Marcus Ramirez. He's a brand new writer for the team, and he's a Kingdom Hearts fanatic. He put out an article on our website a few days ago where he broke down the new trailer, and it is apparently full of, like, weird Nomura clues. Like, this is, like, a full-fledged story Kingdom Hearts game that takes, like, I guess the perspective of Kairi, who's trying to find Sora, who disappeared at the end of Kingdom Hearts 3. Spoiler. I think it's, I don't know if it's a spoil. They showed that in the trailer, so I'm not too concerned about spoiling Kingdom Hearts 3. But there is a lot of like convoluted story in this rhythm game. And that's one thing Kingdom Hearts has done across the board is they've, as you've mentioned, released these weirdly odd spin-offs that are in no way, shape or form mainline games, but they are as just impactful to the story as everything else. So in order to fully understand Kingdom Hearts, you don't need to play 1, 2, and 3. You have to play 1, you have to play Chain of Memories, then you have to play 2, then 3, then X-Cross, and then the mobile games, and then the PSP games, and then the HD remasters that have the 10-second clip at the end that's brand new, but you have to beat the game again to see it. There's so much weird stuff with Kingdom Hearts, but I'm going to keep buying it.
It's weird to the point of actually being fun, funny, amusing.
Yeah. It makes no sense.
I'm glad that this game does have some appeal to you. I'm sure you are not alone in that. And hopefully it paves the way for more Kingdom Hearts on Switch. At least it shows that Square Enix and Nintendo or Disney or whatever convoluted relationship, that relationship is just as convoluted as the storyline and Kingdom Hearts game series itself. It shows that there is a relationship there and that maybe that is a precedent for either at least more Kingdom Hearts related stuff for the Switch or potentially some kind of Smash crossover, which is where my brain goes at all the time.
So I feel like Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 at bare minimum makes sense for the Switch. I feel like there'd be very little work to bring the HD remasters over to the Switch, at least from a horsepower perspective.
And I feel like it would sell gangbusters.
Oh,
it would. People would just scoop that up as fast as they possibly could.
And you know they'd put a $60 price tag on that.
And you know people would pay it.
Yeah, for sure. So we have that coming. We had Puyo Puyo Tetris 2, which Puyo Puyo master on our team, Ricky Berg, is very excited about that game.
Oh, yeah. Ricky's going to love that.
We have a Drum Master RPG coming stateside, which is...
Yeah, Taiko Drums.
Yeah, I mean, that's bizarre.
Out here, there are big installations of Taiko Drum arcade machines, and they are super popular.
Have you
people
played
are
it?
Amazing at it. I have watched people for extended periods of time, but I've actually seeing people play it makes me not want to play it because they're super good. It's like watching a pro like Amiibo Jason do Dance Dance Revolution and then try to like put my clumsy feet on there and follow that act. Yeah, that's not happening.
Next time I see you, we'll have to go play some DDR for sure.
Oh, yeah. A nice humbling experience for me, for sure.
The only other game that I feel like we should talk about, at least that I'm excited about, and I'm sure you have some thoughts,
Creed Boxing!
That was... that one I glazed over.
What?
Just give me a new Punch-Out.
Oh, man, I want a new Punch-Out so bad. Maybe that's why I got excited about this.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, and I'm trying to make sure I got my console right here. I think it was the GameCube, where they released like a Rocky Boxing Legacy game that kind of had a story mode. You kind of fought your way through the first five Rocky movies. This released pre-Rocky VI. And you played as all these different eras of Rocky. The game was pretty slow.
I heard it was super glitchy.
The glitches didn't stick out to me as much as how the responsiveness of the game was pretty slow. Like you could, I was used to a fighting game era of Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter, where when you push the button, the response is instantaneous. So you kind of almost have to build in the delay. I remember I was pushing the buttons well in advance of the character performing the actions, which was tedious. And yet I was compelled enough to play through the whole thing. And I think it's because of how much I love Rocky and boxing, where I found myself repeatedly going back, and I'd have to ask myself, am I only playing this because of how much I love Rocky, or is there anything to this game? And I just kept coming back around to the fact that I think it's just because it was Rocky. So then I was thinking that when I was looking at this Creed, I can't remember the name, but like Super Rumble Creed Boxing. Yeah. It's a weird title. But I'm like, am I interested in this because I want to play another boxing game, or is it only because it's Rocky? And maybe it's just because it's Rocky, but I'm definitely interested for that reason.
Yeah.
So if the controls are even remotely decent, I'll probably power my way through it.
I need to ask you this. Are we at a place where the primary demographic for the Switch, do they care about Rocky anymore? Does anybody care about Rocky anymore? I guess...
That's a good question. I couldn't believe that they had put Creed in the title without Rocky, because I was thinking, oh wow, they didn't even use like the heavy hitter. They didn't even put Rocky in the name.
Well, but I mean, Creed is what, its own franchise now.
It is its own franchise, but in the truest sense of the spinoff, like he has Rocky in everyone, so it is a continuation of the same story.
Yeah.
But instead of Rocky being the central figure, Creed is, and both Creed movies, for me, a big Rocky fan, are amazing, and I love them. I just don't know that the title Creed has the same amount of like box office cachet. Maybe it does. Maybe I'm wrong and out of touch, and young people who might play that game are more likely to have seen Creed than any of the Rocky movies. But I kind of feel like the most likely situation is that people who are watching Creed also watched and enjoyed Rocky. But maybe I'm wrong. I hope Creed was super successful, and I hope we get more. And I hope that there's another Creed movie coming out in next year when this game releases to try to cross promote. I don't know. That's I'm sure that's wishful thinking in this current climate of film production. But that's a good question, and I wonder what the primary demographic of the Switch actually is. Like, I would love to see a breakdown kind of similar to how we have on YouTube,
yeah.
Where when we click on YouTube Analytics, it tells us who's watching under 18 or like between 20 and 30, 30, 40, 50, 60, a male-female breakdown. And I think for a lot of content creators, it's useful to know who is watching your content. Then you know what kind of stuff your content appeals to.
Yeah.
I would love to know. I think Nintendo has a pretty broad audience because you don't need to look any farther than social media to see people of all different walks of life, all different ages, every gender that there is, playing Switch, finding some way to connect with Nintendo. So I want to know, just as a point of interest, who are they targeting?
Yeah.
If anyone specifically.
It felt really generic to me. It looked like a really generic arcade boxer that they skinned Rocky characters on it.
I'm sure that's exactly what it is.
Again, if you're out there and this is your game, let me know. Hit me on Twitter, Amiibo Jason. I want to know your thoughts on Rocky, the Creed game. Is it something that you're very excited about? Because I want to know, maybe I'm just living in a bubble and I'd like to get out of that, I guess. I guess if there's a big, gigantic Creed video game fanatic base, I wanna hear about it.
I'm gonna tweet you right now.
All right.
Sorry, I cut you off there.
No, that was honestly, I'm glad that you brought that one up because I would have totally skimmed over it.
Rude.
So for me, it is the
collection. Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles.
What? No, no.
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail you again.
I do want to get that game. It is Final Fantasy related. It's Collection of Saga. So, if you're unfamiliar, on the Game Boy, there was 4 Final Fantasy games. Final Fantasy Adventure, and then there was Final Fantasy Legend 1, 2, and 3. All 4 games were not Final Fantasy games in Japan. They brought them over with that name in hopes that that would sell the series. The first one, Final Fantasy Adventure, was based on the Mana series in Japan, which is why if you pick up Collection of Mana, Final Fantasy Adventure is one of the games in that game. It is in no way, shape, or form a traditional Final Fantasy game. So now what Square is doing is they are releasing something called Collection of Saga. I think it's, yeah, Collection of Saga?
You are correct.
I'm okay, right, just now, making sure I had that name right. Obviously, they're calling it that because it's bundled with Final Fantasy Legend 1, 2, and 3, which in Japan they were called Saga 1, 2, and 3. Saga was its own RPG franchise. In fact, it went all the way up into the PS1 era, if I remember correctly. There was Saga games that came out in the US under Saga. But again, it was a very new genre for US gamers. And Square was already very hesitant to try to bring RPG elements over to the States. So obviously they took the Final Fantasy name, something that at least had some sort of notoriety at that point, and they slapped that on there instead. But I'm excited for that because I've played all 3 of these games. The Saga franchise is fantastic. And I'm definitely picking this one up. Depending on price.
How does it compare to Final Fantasy?
It's very similar to Final Fantasy. So this is more of a standard turn-based RPG in comparison to what you had with Final Fantasy Adventure, which was kind of an action RPG. You got to fight the enemies like and move around and stuff like that. It wasn't just like take your turn. But again, it was still an RPG to a certain degree. So if you're more familiar with standard RPGs, Final Fantasy Legend should be pretty much right at home with where you know what you're used to. I was hoping for a physical release of this, but apparently in the US that's not going to happen. It's going to be digital only. So I'm not sure how much money I'm willing to spend on three Game Boy ROMs, which is essentially what this is going to be.
How would you price it? What would you think would be a reasonable price for those games?
$20.
$20?
It's going to be more. It's going to be 30 or 40.
Yeah, 30 sounds right to me.
But it should be a budget $19.99 because these are ROMs. These are not remastered. These are nothing more than a ROM.
I'll bet you it's going to be 40. They're probably going to charge you $10 per game.
They throw the Final Fantasy name on there and they can charge whatever they want. And yeah, I got my binder of Game Boy games behind me. All three of these games are in my possession right now, so I can play them right now. But for the convenience factor of having them on my system, I'm definitely willing to shell a little bit of money out. So I'm excited for that one to a certain degree. And I think that was about it. I mean, there was some other stuff. I mean, there was World of Tanks, which I don't care.
I'm with you there.
There was another Harmonix game, which was another rhythm game that's coming to the Switch. I think that got overshadowed a bit.
Or Just Dance 2021. I cannot spit this out. Just Dance 2021. Does that have any appeal for you?
Maybe. So I do play Just Dance, oddly enough. I play with my daughter. It's fun. It's a great workout. I love embarrassing her, so it's fantastic for that kind of thing, too. I get really into it. Like, really, really into it. Britney Spears, Toxic. I mean, I got all the moves down.
See, this is the video stream that the internet didn't know they were missing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not going to happen. But, yeah, it's not necessarily on my short list of games that I'm going to pick up, but maybe. I mean, if it's on, like, super sale at some point, I'll pick it up.
Yeah, that's kind of what I did. I've never bought a Just Dance game in my life, and then I saw Just Dance 2020 for, like, dirt cheap. It was, like, less than $10.
Yeah.
And I thought, my daughter will get $10 out of fun out of this. And my wife is like a semi-professional level dancer, so I thought maybe she'll be into this. And the two of them, I think, played it for maybe 4 or 5 hours.
Sure.
But like what happens, our Switch is such a game machine. We're spoiled for choice. There's so many games on there that we haven't even played yet that we like. So my daughter kind of bounces between 20 different games. And I guess it got enough, but I don't really see myself feeling the need to buy an updated version.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's a dance game. I mean, it's nice getting new music.
Is it on the Wii also?
Yeah, it's not on... No, it's not. First time ever it's not on the Wii.
Oh.
Somebody pointed that out as they announced it. It is not on the Wii, so the Wii is officially dead.
Yeah, if you're not getting Just Dance games anymore, it's over.
Yep.
I couldn't actually believe that they got Just Dance 2020. They're still releasing games for a console that you can't even buy.
Yeah.
I think that one of the other notable standouts was Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles. We knew it was coming, but I don't know how much information we had about it. I don't know if we had a release date.
We
but
did.
It's actually coming out sooner than I thought. It's out now?
It came out today.
Oh.
Okay. It was a launch trailer, and that was it. No new there was really no new information in it.
What I'm not so sure about is, of all of the Final Fantasy games, I think this one has the largest barrier of entry. It's a game that really centers around playing it cooperatively with other people, and if you're playing it single player, it's a pain.
Yeah.
You have to manage this. It's a pain no matter how you play it, because somebody has to carry this crystal around. You have this fog that you can't leave, and this crystal dispels the fog, but it has a limited perimeter, so you have to like move this thing around with you as you go. I played a lot of this game, like a ton, maybe 100 or 200 hours, and I kept feeling like it was an investment in the completion of the game. But I never completed the game because I spent so much time like setting up so much of the foundational part of it that I don't remember a single thing about the story. I don't remember a single thing about any of it other than just trying to find a way to set it up and play it. So I wonder how the Switch alleviates some of the burden of that.
So
we had,
finish your thought, because
I didn't have a complete end to that thought. So
here's my thoughts on it. And I think I'm going to mirror a lot of other people's thoughts too. Up until, I believe it was yesterday, I would say, if you asked me this same question a week ago, I'd say the Switch is going to fix everything. That the internet is the great bringer together of Final Fantasy fans. All you have to do is get some friends or go on a forum or a Facebook group, and you can find people to play with. But what was discovered yesterday was that only the person hosting the game, so if you're doing like a big chapter or mission, only the person hosting the game gets the material from the end of the quest.
Oh,
so you cannot,
very little incentive.
So you cannot progress in the game if you are doing a mission with a friend. So you have to go back to your game, invite the friends to your game, so you can do the mission and get the item yourself. So if you have like a group of four people you want to play with, you have to do these quests four times.
No.
According to what I've read, you know, let me, before I completely stir this up, let me see. Crystal Chronicles Quest News.
That's such unbelievable level garbage that it's actually kind of worse than what the GameCube one offered. I can't believe that.
Let me see if I can even find. And the wait wasn't worth it. Every Nintendo Switch game. I'll let you finish your thoughts on this while I look this up.
That for me is definitely a deal breaker, because even playing through a game that exhausting one time is kind of a big ask. But to have to replay each quest literally four times just to be able to get to the next point in the game is so extraneous that I think that that's really kind of ruining the game. That's game breaking.
And it's crazy, because I wish I could find the original source on this yesterday. So there is no co-op, there is no local co-op for this game, so you have to play online.
That's weird too.
Yeah, that's another thing that they mentioned as well. Okay, here we go. This is coming from Attack of the Fanboy. Only the host earns story progress in the new Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles multiplayer. So let's see. Whether that is grabbing the, I'm going to totally mess up this, Miss Mizma, dispelling Mira at the end of a dungeon, sending or receiving mail, or adding an entry to their diary, and therefore gaining the critical memory from the experience, it's all tied to the host. This also means that parties don't exist outside of parties. You'll need to travel alone if you wish to see roadside events or to run errands in town. Additionally, the party has to reform after every dungeon run. So,
okay.
My hope for this was I wanted to get together a group of Nintendo Wire writers and play through the entire game. Just one time, all four of us. And based on what I'm reading here, it doesn't look like that's doable.
Right.
Which is a major disappointment. I am still planning on picking this up to give it a shot, but I am far less excited to do it.
I think it is a complete game killer. I think it saps any bit of interest that I could have possibly had in this game out.
Yeah.
Playing it with other people was kind of the whole point of the original one. It was like giving you a Final Fantasy. And if I'm remembering correctly, this is not a turn-based game. All of the action in this game is real time, right?
Yeah.
And that was the original appeal to me, because I love the stories of Final Fantasy games. I just don't like the turn-based mechanic. It felt like it made games pretty slow. But then after playing Crystal Chronicles, I felt like it was really slow.
Yeah.
And this sounds like they're finding ways to slow it to a crawl.
I mean, it looks like, I mean, you'll still gain experience from doing these things, which is something, I guess. But again, my thought process when they announced this game was that I could play with four friends anywhere they were. And that just apparently doesn't appear to be the... Like, again, I could still play with my friends, but it's not the way I thought it was going to go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my excitement for that is not as grand as it used to be. The game is out. It came out today. Apparently, the online servers were just terrible. Square Enix put out a tweet earlier saying that they were sorry for the problems with the servers, and they are trying to fix them. So,
TJ,
not a great launch.
TJ is not amused.
But besides that, I would rate the partner showcase, as far as what it was, I'd give it a B. I mean, there was nothing like mind-blowing in it for the most part, but it was good.
I feel like
good.
It justified its own existence. I think there was enough there for it to be made, which is more than I can say for the first one. So as far as this affects the rumors of there being another Direct, or I shouldn't say rumors, as far as this addresses the existence of another Direct, or maybe more broadly speaking, another Nintendo information drop, I don't think it impacts it really at all, because we do know that Nintendo is continuing to make games, and at some point Nintendo is going to decide to make the games release that information to the public so that they can be aware of these games. And we do know we're kind of due for something like that. So going back to your rain analogy, I think people can predict rain every day between now and the Nintendo Direct, and everyone's going to look like a leaker. Because it's going to happen soon, no matter what. We've got only like less than half the year to go. We're creeping up on the holiday season here, and Nintendo still hasn't announced anything beyond Pikmin 3 Remastered Deluxe Edition Special Time. So... something's there. They've got something. It might be another remaster. It might be another re-release. But I feel like they're going to have at least one holiday title.
Yeah. I mean, I'm planning on getting this podcast out Friday, so tomorrow morning. So by the time this podcast gets out, we could sound like we're not knowing what we're talking about, because Nintendo could have released something tomorrow morning, which could still happen.
Yeah.
Nintendo typically releases new info for a Direct or any major news at 9 a.m. CST. So they try to do it late at night in Japan, early in the morning in the U.S. So if there is going to be something 12 hours from now, we should know something. So if that's the case, I am going back to this podcast before I upload it, and I'm going to put a small disclaimer at the very beginning of the episode, saying, listen, we shot this last night. You know, don't expect all of this to be totally accurate.
I think Nintendo fans are getting pretty accustomed to that. Every single thing that we discuss has to come with some degree of speculation.
Yeah.
Nintendo keeps things close to the chest. So as Nintendo fans, you're mixing your hopes with your predictions, and you're blending that together. And sometimes the speculation aligns with what Nintendo actually does, and sometimes Nintendo just blows your mind with something completely unexpected.
Nintendo and does what they do, and that's it.
That's what they do. They enjoy surprising and delighting, I think, even as much as making games.
Yeah.
So it's not just enough to make a great game. They want to make a game and then also have something surprising about it. Almost to their detriment.
Yeah.
Where the game is, I think, in some notable cases, worse because of their insistence on implementing surprising elements.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I do want to touch base on Paper Mario at the end of this podcast.
Oh, yeah, man. So you've been playing it a little bit?
Yeah. We just got past the first boss yesterday, the first Velimental.
Velimental. I think, I'm not sure on this. I didn't get it at all. And I call my wife into the room and I'm like, how do you say this? How do you say this word?
Yeah.
I know that it's a play on the word elemental. And she's like, well, vellum is like a type of paper.
Oh, is it?
Okay.
That makes sense. Paper pun.
Velemental. I got it.
But I have totally thoughts on that, so we'll get into that too. Before we do that, though, we have another rumor. And again, this one is from a couple sources. We had a Taipei newspaper called the Economic Daily News, which I was going to ask you. Are you familiar with that publication?
No, I'm not. I live in Taipei, but I'm not familiar with that news.
Okay, so the Taipei newspaper, the Economic Daily News, they reported that a new switch revision is in the works that's coming with improved display, upgraded interactivity, and it's coming out in 2021. Early.
I also want to qualify, even if I was aware of it, I couldn't read it.
Got it. Well, early 2021 is what they're not confirming. They're saying that they've had discussions with people down the supply chain and this is coming.
Mm.
So, as of Tuesday, Bloomberg has confirmed the report and said that this is in fact happening, and it will also feature 4K high definition support.
I don't think that's surprising at all. I think Nintendo moving in the direction of being able to support better resolution for the Switch is kind of an obvious direction. And I think Nintendo doing slow incremental upgrades to the Switch is probably what they're going to do. I don't think we're going to see any like Switch Pro, Switch 2 anytime soon.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see what we've been seeing, which is here's a portable version. Here's a version that has a longer battery life. Here's a version that is going to give you an extra 3 or 4 weeks before Joy-Con drift sets in. I think those are going to be the kinds of updates that they're going to be slowly put out. So having a better screen resolution, similar processing power, slightly better processing power, I'm getting the feeling that's kind of going to be Nintendo's route with this. It's
so,
just gradual implementation of new features.
The 4K
improved
thing,
features.
Though, I have a hard time getting behind that. So Nintendo, the Switch can do 1080p, but not well. Like, not well at all. Games like Doom, for instance, on 1080p, it's not 1080p. Even docked, I mean, it's maybe up-converted to 1080p, but it's not 1080p.
Yeah, I'm sure that in cases like that, Switch is capable of 1080p, but you're looking at games that are being down, they're being compressed so that you can fit it on there and then up-resed. So you're definitely going to be looking at lower quality in those situations. And I think that's not so much an issue of the display, that's more an issue of the processing power. And until Nintendo can create the sort of abundance of processing power that is available on Xbox and PlayStation, they're going to be dealing with compressed versions of the games that were developed for those consoles. And that is a problem. And Nintendo's going to slowly get worked out of the third-party game again, because it's just not going to be worth trying to shrink your game down.
Yeah. The medium, too. So the nice thing that the Xbox One X and the PlayStation 4 and the new consoles have are dedicated hard drives with a lot of storage. And as far as the Switch goes, because they're not using Blu-ray media, we get a memory card. 4K textures are no joke, like, at all. Games like Red Dead Redemption 2 on PS4, 100 gigabytes, 100 gigs of storage space needed. That is beyond what your average memory card is going to hold.
Yep.
So, I mean, granted, yes, they have like 1 terabyte memory cards now, but they're incredibly expensive.
Sure,
so,
super cost prohibitive.
From a storage medium, I don't know how it's going to be economical for them to continue using expensive carts to fit a game that typically would be 100 gigs on another platform. You see a lot of other companies, BioShock Collection, for instance, they could have invested the money on buying a more expensive cartridge with more space on it, but most publishers just put one game on the cart, and then they say download the rest of it.
Yeah.
And that's a trend we've seen across the board now.
It's a good workaround for trying to keep the cost of production down. I know it annoys consumers, but there's a threshold. There's like a breaking point where you get a certain amount of data storage and it's affordable. And then like the next jump up is astronomical.
Yeah.
And the technology has been pushing that number up, up and up and up. I remember to have like a 1 gigabyte thumb drive used to be absurdly expensive. And now they don't even make them because it's so low. What are you going to do with a 1 gigabyte thumb drive? So we're seeing that same thing happening already with cartridge-based media. But I really don't know. I think the bigger problem is just that the other game developers are creating games without concerning themselves with the size of the game. To most, they're just spoiled for power.
Yeah.
At what point does it become just not financially viable or not technically viable to put it onto the Switch? I think we're there now. We're already there. So you're referencing games like Doom. Doom was not designed to be on Switch. So much fancy footwork had to be done to even make it playable, and it is a subpar version to what's out there. It's better than nothing. It was probably profitable in this particular case, but I don't know that that's something that's going to continue to hold true.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not true in all cases. I just saw this trailer for a game called Gotham Knights. Did you hear about it?
Yeah.
And it took me a while to figure out where it was playable, but I could tell from the first 1 second
that it's not going to Switch.
It's not going to Switch.
Yeah.
And so finally I go to their official website, and somewhere hidden on there it shows that it's on, not surprisingly, PC, PlayStation, Xbox. It is not on Switch. It will never be on Switch.
I still feel like 4K support for a mid-cycle upgrade for the Switch doesn't make sense. But again, the guy reporting on this is Takeshi Mochizuki. He used to work for the Wall Street Journal. He is really big into the gaming world and Nintendo specific news, so he's a very credible source. I just don't necessarily believe until I see it 4K support out of this thing.
I'm not willing to die on this hill, but I definitely think that that's where Nintendo's head is. I think Nintendo is definitely looking towards a 4K Switch. That seems like such a logical upgrade.
I just feel like the Switch is not a system designed by its own very nature of being a portable device that completely eradicated Blu-ray discs. Again, Final Fantasy VII Remake, a fantastic 4K game, came on 2 dual-layer 50 gigabyte Blu-ray discs. So 100 gigs of data for a physical copy of a game. I can't imagine a world where there's going to be this uncapped 4K high definition Switch that's going to exponentially increase the size of games specifically. I would say third party is going to be the biggest like monster to take up a lot of these game sizes. It's just bizarre to me that a system that relies so heavily on a micro SD card is going to be able to handle games of that size / caliber.
Yeah, that's all a good point. And then the other thing that you have to consider is what does 4K really mean? Because let's say the human eye caps out at roughly 1080p. So 4K is automatically already a redundancy. But that doesn't mean that the human eye can't perceive the difference between something that's 4K and 1080. But what are we actually seeing? What information is the eye actually absorbing? We have a Switch that's capable of 1080p now, but like you said, what we're looking at is not always 1080p.
Yeah, so upconvert.
So if the Switch is saying, hey, we are now 4K, does that mean maybe we're getting upconverted 1080p?
Which is what even a lot of the PS4 Pro and Xbox Series X stuff does.
Exactly.
There is a fantastic YouTube channel called Digital Foundry, and they are the masters of being able to tell if something's at dynamic resolution, if it's like just a fake upscaled like 1080 or 1440. It's really interesting. So if you're curious about like the mechanics of your favorite games, check that channel out. It's fantastic. So you're right. We might see something similar to that. Not to mention, though, I mean, we have the Xbox Series X, which is coming out. That's like the size of like a refrigerator.
Right.
It's and that's the PlayStation the other thing. Is like, how pretty are they going to cram too. That into the Switch?
Yeah, they're basically Nintendo went the exact opposite direction for this last console cycle that PlayStation and Xbox did, where they went big. They made computer towers, and with that computer tower comes power. Tower equals power. Switch, they were like, we need to keep this thing small enough that you can take it and put it in your hand. We are going to create the smallest controllers ever made in the history of the world. They're going to be so small that the average adult can't play it for more than 20 minutes without their hands cramping. They really wanted to create something that you could transport.
Yeah.
And I got to say, like, personally, the appeal of this is far more. I'll take my games at a lower resolution to be able to take them wherever I want. Doesn't mean I will accept a diminished gaming experience in all situations. Like, for example, if Breath of the Wild were to release cross-platform and the definitive experience was going to be on another console, I would buy that other console and play it just because I want to have Zelda the best way I can possibly have Zelda. I will have Zelda the best way that I can possibly have Zelda, which will be the only way that I can possibly have Zelda, and that's how Nintendo packages it. So I'll accept whatever that means. But for people who like to play third-party games, and those third-party games are available across all three platforms, it's not surprising to me that people are having to make the decision between, do I want the definitive one, or do I want the one I can take anywhere? And that's kind of the defining factor for Switch.
And it's weird because I have all three systems. I typically pick up the Switch version because it's more convenient for me.
Yeah.
And I've mentioned this on the show before. Graphics for me are a thing of the past when it comes to a majority of the games I play. Yeah. There's certain games that, yes, I mean, the graphics are just, they're needed to enjoy the experience. Like, the detail has to be that fine. But from a fun factor perspective, by and large, I much prefer to have the option of taking it with me wherever I go. I played Doom 2016 on an airplane to completion for the very first time on the Switch.
With a little kid peeking through the seats in horror.
That's fine. It was so pixelated, he couldn't make it out. But in my opinion, it looked good. It played well enough. It was fast. It was zippy. I'm trying to remember the company that put it out. I should know. I interviewed them at E3 a couple years ago. Panic Button Games. They are wizards with taking something that has no earthly business being on the Switch and somehow making it on the Switch. But like I said before, graphics for me are not nearly as important as it used to be. We are beyond that. Like, I'm playing Fall Guys, which is a game where jelly beans are running up a hill to try to be, you know, the first to get to the finish line. It could play on a glorified toaster, and it's the most popular game on the planet right now. And it is the most simplistic thing you'd ever see.
That's, I think, also what has pushed us to the point where graphics don't matter, is that graphics have advanced to the point of being photorealistic. So now people can make the artistic choice to make games look like Goose Game.
Yeah.
Cel-shaded is not because we have to. Pixelated is not because we have to. Shovel Knight chose to have that aesthetic for artistic reasons. And now we're more accepting of games using their graphics for artistic purposes and not because they're all that the system is capable of generating. Yeah. All NES games have the exact same art aesthetic. You got these pixelated graphics. All of them could live in the same world for the most part. But now we have games that are as diverse as any other art medium. So it's pretty awesome, and I do love that. And I think that it diminishes the importance of graphics. Although that said, Nintendo has a habit of really squeezing every last bit out of the Switch for their first-party titles. I struggle to think of a game that looks better than Luigi's Mansion 3. The game is gorgeous. The lighting is gorgeous. Yeah. Paper Mario, it's not a complex game. There's nothing tricky about it, but the graphics are, they serve the purpose. You play through the game and you have all these great textures. Yoshi's Crafted World, it looks fantastic. But Breath of the Wild looks fantastic. But these are games that aren't really trying to advance the graphic aspect of the medium. So I'm curious to see what Nintendo's long-term plans are for the Switch and not so much at this these incremental jumps. I don't know what they could do to the Switch to make me feel like I need to buy another one other than Gold Special Edition Breath of the Wild 2. I would buy that in a heartbeat.
I feel like if they do something, it's going to be something that's going to say you can still play these games on the Switch, but you will get a better frame rate, a better resolution if you buy it on this. And to your point before, if you can get a definitive edition on this new Switch Pro for Breath of the Wild 2, you're probably going to do that.
Oh, I certainly will, just like I would have bought a $700 Xbox or PlayStation or whatever if I could get a better one there. So
I fully expect this thing to be out either alongside of Breath of the Wild 2 or at least before it.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess the current climate has me completely uncertain.
Yeah.
We're really in uncharted territory. We haven't seen something like this in as far back as I can remember. We had no E3, so usually by this time we know exactly what Nintendo's plans are for the rest of the year. Now we know very little heading into the fall. So if Nintendo is going to be iterating upon the Switch like we can imagine they are going to do, because they've already been doing that, we have seen this template in the past with their handheld devices. So maybe we kind of got a first look at how they're going to approach Switch with what they were doing with the 3DS and then subsequently the new 3DS and the 2DS. Like, they just kept finding ways to be able to, in some ways, increase the power, increase the capacity, increase the output, and in other ways, reduce the features to allow you to be able to get it for a cheaper price. And that we've already seen with the Switch. What do you call that handheld one? The Switch Lite.
Switch Lite, yeah.
Which should have been the Lite Switch.
It's close enough.
So,
I said, we are in a weird spot at this point. This is the first time we've seen a Switch Pro rumor from reputable sources. There is just a chance that it was meant to come out this year, and COVID just threw a wrench in it. So,
yeah, that's a chance. But didn't we already see this reported in the Wall Street Journal?
Yeah, I think we did.
Like a year ago or something.
I think it was rumored at this point. Wrong. This time, apparently, it's like in production.
Yeah, and before, it's hard to say that they were wrong, because we did get both a Switch revision and also a new version. So we got the portable and we got the enhanced battery life. And that guess technically, those are iterations, even though they're not groundbreaking, not earth-shattering. I still have a version 1 Switch myself, and I haven't had any reason to get another one. But I'm certainly waiting for Nintendo to give me a good reason.
Yeah.
Give me a reason to want to get another one of these. I still am confused about how my 100% purely digital library could talk to a handheld device. Like, I'm trying to consider, can I give one of my kids a Switch Lite for Christmas and then be able to play the games without having to be on my profile? I still don't understand that. It's really tricky.
As long as you're not playing the same game at the same time.
So they could be on their own profile without actually having the games on the portable?
From what I understand, you need to make... So the only issues I've ever had was when I wanted to play Animal Crossing and my daughter wanted to play Animal Crossing and it was on the same digital account.
That makes sense.
So it will make sure, from what I gather, that the other person is not actively playing that game. I think. The only thing that I'm trying to think of, I'm hoping that it's not saying that is the other person online and playing a game currently, then you can't play.
In my particular situation, that would be unusual because we don't really play online very much.
What would have to happen, from what I believe, you would have to have your profile on her system, and I think she'd have to log in as you if it's not the primary system so that she can play that game. Because if she tries to log in on a different system, I'm pretty sure it'll say you can't. A different profile.
But she can... Let's say I made the primary Switch her handheld.
Yeah.
Then
she can.
She can play on her own profile on that Switch. But what that would prevent me from being able to do is to also buy my son one.
Unless he logged in on your profile.
Which I'm not
okay I've never tried to... Like, I'm doing this currently with my daughter, where she has access to my digital library. And we've had a couple instances where you know what? I'm pretty sure that I can't be online at all for her to be able to go online on hers and play my library. Because I was playing a completely separate game. I was playing Dragon Quest XI, and it kicked me off when she was playing Animal Crossing. So I think there is problems. There should be a family sharing thing at this point.
There should be a family sharing thing. It's so obvious. I'm already paying for an account.
Yeah.
I'm already giving Nintendo money every month so that I can utilize their proprietary features. If I were to have bought my games physically, it would be a simple matter of just transferring the cartridges. But because I don't roll like that these days... All of my games are locked onto one little box.
Yeah. So it did just hit me. If you're online and she's online using the same game, or not the same game, using a game from the same profile, the secondary Switch will be kicked off.
That's not a situation that would ever be necessary in my case, because we all have our own profiles, and for the most part, unless we're playing co-op.
Yeah.
We stick to our own profiles. And that's what I would need to be able to establish. So that's probably the reason why I haven't bought Switch Lite yet, is because I'm not going to be double-dipping on any of these games.
You'd probably have to, and I think that's, for the most part, my daughter plays three games, and she owns all three copies of the same game. So, like, I got to a point where, because I very, very distinctly remember I was getting really upset that I kept getting kicked off of Dragon Quest when she was playing Animal Crossing.
So you just bought...
So I'm like, I can't deal with this anymore. She's getting her own copy.
Gotcha.
So I do want to touch base on one more thing real quick before we go, and it's going to be really short. I do enjoy Paper Mario Origami King quite a bit, but I despise the battle system. I hate it.
You're talking about those puzzles?
I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it.
How many hours in are you?
I just beat the first Velimental, so...
Oh, right, you
three,
said that.
Three, four?
Okay. So I was feeling that same way.
I like the boss mechanic for it, because I feel like I'm doing something.
Uh-huh.
For every other battle in the game, there is no point for me to do them. There's no experience. There is no item drops that I've... occasional item drop.
Yeah, you get coins, which...
I don't care. There's coins everywhere.
You don't care yet, but
I hit a tree and I get a coin.
Yeah, like, that's true.
I hate it. I literally despise it.
Yeah. Well, I would say power through it and avoid it when you can. Like it's easy enough to kind of avoid having to do it often. Once in a while, they will kind of impose it upon you.
Yeah.
But a lot of those situations, you could just skip right past them.
So I had to go and put the shell stones back so I could get to the first kind of boss in the game. And all of the enemies respawned when I went back to that area, and I was so mad because the Goombas kept running back into me. And it's not good game design when your player, myself and my daughter, were doing everything we could to avoid the main battle mechanic of the game. We were so sick of it.
Yeah, I agree on that point.
So again, I think it's interesting. If it would have been done differently, where I felt like I was accomplishing something. And the reason why I like RPGs, and RPGs are a successful video game series, not series, but genre, is because when you grind, you're grinding towards something.
Yeah.
Your character is getting stronger. Your magic is getting stronger. Your party is getting just stronger. And without an experience system, having these types of random battles, to me, it's just a time killer. And that's it.
Yeah, a pace killer too. Unless you really enjoy that puzzle, that specific one puzzle.
Over and over again.
Then it is going to wear out its welcome very, very quickly.
There's only so many ways that they can move. Like,
yeah, two.
I would say about an hour into the game, I had it mastered as far as
like, really?
How to move the guys to where they needed to go. I'm like, all right, that goes there, that goes there. It's typically no more than two moves in most cases.
Yeah, that's true. Have you done the Toad Battle Gym?
Not
the
yet.
The training one? You could kind of like shotgun your way through 10 challenges. I'll be curious if that poses any challenge to you at all. I found it to be immensely difficult.
I'll give it
and
a
that
shot.
Was actually a lot more fun than doing it in the game proper, because I went in there with the express purpose of trying to see if I could beat these puzzles.
Yeah.
And each puzzle gets progressively more complex. That in that setting, it was more fun than in the actual game, where it's impeding my progress and it's slowing down my progression and it's just murdering the pacing of an otherwise pretty well-paced game.
Yeah. I am going to be spending a lot of time in this game. So my daughter, she's going into second grade. She definitely can read, but she's learning to become a stronger, faster reader. And she insists on reading the dialogue for every single Toad in Toad's voice.
Yeah, that's amazing. What an awesome, awesome daughter.
So it's a little bit slower going than typical. Like a typical run-through?
Exactly like mine, too, where we couldn't just read the game. The game had to be performed.
Yeah.
So my daughter's like, Dad, I am Olivia. oh, it's Paper Peach? I will be doing this one.
She you just can wants do Bowser, the Toads. Dad. And her Toad voice is on point, by the way. I'm going to record it and let
do
you
it.
Hear it next time.
Yes, I need to hear this.
All right, TJ, I got to get going. So before I do, where can the good folks at home find you?
Hey, check me out at Custom Conquest, or if you want to follow more of my fitness related stuff, you can check me out on Instagram at Forever Fitness TJ. And any of my Nintendo video related content is on the Nintendo Wire YouTube channel. If you're not subscribed, now's a good time to do it. We might have one last Custom Conquest hurrah sometime in the near future, so make sure you're subscribed and sign up for notifications so that you can be ready as soon as that thing drops.
I can't wait. So, for me, you can find me at my personal Twitter account, at AmiiboJason, otherwise at NintendoWire.com. Once again, I'm on YouTube as well, YouTube.com/NintendoWire, where the Nintendo Wire Tap is finally back.
Yes, woohoo!
So, Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, the Wire Tap is going to be on. I have a new system in place that's going to make it a lot easier to do. One cool thing is I'm bringing on a guest on the Wire Tap much more frequently. We did that for the very first time yesterday. We had Ricky Berg on to talk about Puyo Puyo Tetris. That's going to be something that we're going to do more often, to introduce you guys to more members of the Nintendo Wire writing team. And I'm really curious to see what you think of it. So stay tuned for that as well. And I think that's it.
That's awesome. Ricky Berg is a star. I can't wait to
see
more of those guys featured on the site.
But yeah, we're really trying to do some new things with Nintendo Wire's YouTube channel. Stay tuned. I'm hoping you guys like it. All right, TJ, anything else?
I'm on board. Hey, if you guys like the show, be sure to leave a review. Let us know you're listening.
All right. Thank you, guys. And until next time, stay wired in.
Thanks for playing.